A new locally owned streaming service hopes to make it easier to watch locally produced films, and one of their first offerings is a documentary about the Vietnam War. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is retired NMSU professor Dr. Bob Worthington, who in 2008 assembled personal footage he shot of the Vietnam War into a documentary titled Combat Advisor in Vietnam. Part ground-level view of life and war in Vietnam, part personal memoir, and part history of the role U.S. military advisors played in the war, the film is one of several being released on a unique locally owned streaming site, BorderlandsMedia.com. I'm happy to have professor, author, and filmmaker Bob Worthington in the studio today. Good morning, sir.
Thank you very much.
We should mention you're also a retired Army officer.
Yes.
Which is how you came by this footage.
Yes.
Genuinely. What years were you in Vietnam?
My first tour was January of 66 to January of 67, and the second tour was in August of 68 till the end of August 69.
The footage you shot personally with your own home movie camera, is that right?
That is correct. I did that about the last 2 or 3 months of the first tour in Vietnam, when I was a senior advisor to a Vietnamese mobile reaction force, a light infantry battalion.
The title of your film is Combat Advisor in Vietnam. You were that combat advisor. And to differentiate for listeners who may not be aware, you were embedded with a largely Vietnamese force, so there was only a few of you Americans, is that right?
That is correct. My team consisted of me, at that time an infantry captain, a lieutenant, infantry lieutenant, and a staff sergeant, also infantry. And the three of us were the team advising about a 320-man Arvin Army of Vietnam infantry battalion.
So you were with them for a good part of 2 years. What possessed you to start shooting footage on your 8mm?
Okay, actually, I was not with them the whole time. I had several different assignments as a combat advisor to different Vietnamese units. But what I wanted to do was to visually document what a combat advisor did during the war, because very, very few people had any idea that, number one, there were military advisors that were fighting, and number two, they had no clue as to what they were doing.
Meaning differentiating between regular Army groups who were all U.S. soldiers fighting together, you were advising the Vietnamese forces, and there was a different mission there.
That is correct. I had been very highly trained. I had a lot of training by the U.S. Army Special Forces. I was a graduate of the Army Special Warfare School, unconventional warfare, counter-guerrilla, counter-insurgency, and then I went to the equivalency of a 2-year language course. I say equivalency because the University of California gave us 2 years college credit, and we studied morning, afternoon, evening, all the time for about 3 months to become proficient in the Vietnamese language.
So you spoke both Vietnamese and French, I believe.
Yes, I was fluent in French. I used that on another combat tour when I was enlisted Marines in the 1950s fighting in the Middle East.
As you were making this footage, documenting your life and day-to-day, some mundane, some hectic, and some firefights, I mean, you really capture a broad range of your life there. You certainly get a sense watching the film of the ebb and flow of and anxieties and downtimes that you experienced as a combat advisor. But did you have in mind shooting this footage that you would one day make a formal film about this, or were you just documenting your life for family and friends
No.
when you returned?
I wanted to make a publicly released film sometime in the future to show that combat advisors were not just involved in combat and fighting. We helped build refugee villages. We held medical civic action programs. I taught English. We worked with district, local governments, with schools, medical facilities, agriculture. We did whatever we could do to help the Vietnamese people.
You had a very broad mandate, as your documentary shows.
Yes.
There are some images in this, we should warn people, some gruesome images, not necessarily of warfare, but the effects of warfare on people, particularly the medical section. Some of the patients that are being attended to have some pretty gruesome injuries. I was really taken with one story in the film, and we should mention that you narrate this film. So these are not only your personal images, but your personal recollections that we're hearing audibly. There's a moment in the film where you discuss a firefight that's going on, and the Viet Cong request a ceasefire because a baby has been injured by shrapnel. Can you recount that story briefly?
Yes, what happened was the Vietnamese battalion, along with the national police, local police, what we would do is we would go into a village, surround it. This is a village in Viet Cong territory. And then the police would go through the identification of all of the people to determine who were legitimate people living in the village and who did not have proper identification. They're what they called Viet Cong suspects. We went in there, and we had to fight our way in the village. We got in. The Vietnamese government set up medical inoculation programs in which we used Navy corpsmen to do that. Propaganda, singing, entertainment, giving out clothes, trying to make things a little bit easier for the villagers. We were attacked that night, and an old man came in, and because I was fluent in Vietnamese, I understood what he said. A little baby belonging to the Viet Cong was injured, and injured so badly she needed medical help. And could the American advisor get in a medevac for her? So I talked to the guy, I talked to our battalion commander, and we decided, okay, go back, bring the mother and the baby back, and we'll check her out and see what we could do. While he was going back to get the baby, I contacted the Marine Corps to see if they would be willing to fly a medevac mission. And they said yes, they would, if I could provide a safe landing zone. So the mother and the baby and the old man came back. The arrangements that we had made with the elderly guy was when the helicopter came in, the Viet Cong would stop the war. So
fascinating. You know, I think one of the interesting things about the Vietnam War, particularly, you know, up until that time, that war came into our households so much more than any war before it because of the ubiquity of television and the ability to document. But also soldiers like yourself had far more cameras on them personally and were documenting the war.
Yes.
And so we've had a lot of commercial films about the Vietnam War and documentaries about the Vietnam War. There's also these troves of personal reflections and stories that have been captured, not just audibly, but also visually. And it adds so much to our understanding of the complexities and the nuances of that particular war. I wonder, do you see an educational component to this where teachers might use your footage or snippets or even the entire film to help teach about Vietnam?
Yes. If mostly, I think, in colleges, several colleges, including the one that I graduated from, have in their history curriculum a course on the Vietnam War. And I think that this could be valuable because it provides a viewpoint of the war that most people are not aware of. Also, we being the U.S. military, are still advising military forces all over the world, many places that most Americans are not aware of. And in the training for these advisors, I think that my books and the movie could prove useful because, as the director of one school said, we don't need to reinvent the wheel all over again.
Mm-hmm. You know, I often think of film as a modern storage of memory. And sometimes we, for better or worse, confuse our commercial films with history. And so documentaries like your own are a reset for some of that. I'm also want to hear about your what it was like to revisit this imagery so many decades after you shot it, and you are the narrator of the film. You have very acute and specific detailed narration, a lot of facts and figures, and it's certainly a lot of memory, I guess, is forged in the intensity of the moment and in your brain. But I'm wondering if seeing these images over the decades bring those moments back to life as well for you.
Let me explain it this way. I'm primarily a nonfiction writer, and I've done well over 2,500 publications. A lot of them have been articles on the Vietnam War. I had chapters in many books on the Vietnam War, and I've spoken to many groups. So it's not like I'm going back after an absence of 10, 20, 30 years. I have constantly been working on the latest book I had published, articles, speaking to groups, the movie. So a good deal of my time is spent researching in order to write articles, to do the books, and to speak.
It's all still very fresh for you.
Yes. In fact, I'm doing the second book, and there are times when I will recall vividly events I was involved in, but I can't remember the exact date, the names of the people involved, the people involved in the fighting. But it's all available in books, dissertations, master's thesis, articles, magazines, newspapers, official reports. So I can get all the details. So when I write, I'll write about my memory, but I have everything else about it.
Perfect. And you have a lot of facts and figures, too, in your documentary. Dr. Bob Worthington, thanks so much for coming into the studio today.
Charles, thank you very much. I enjoyed being here.
Well, best of luck with the rollout of your film, too.
Thank you.
Adding filmmaker to your long list of accolades. My guest today has been retired NMSU professor Dr. Bob Worthington. Worthington is an author of numerous books and articles covering his time as a combat advisor during the Vietnam War. We've been discussing his documentary film, Combat Advisor in Vietnam, which is narrated by Worthington and made up of footage shot by him in the field during his tour of duty in 1966 and 67. Combat Advisor in Vietnam is available for rent or purchase now through BorderlandsMedia.com. It's a new streaming service based in Las Cruces, and you can find the film at BorderlandsMedia.com and other titles there. You can also learn more about Bob Worthington's life and work at BobWorthingtonWriter.com. On Film's engineer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.